And welcome back to another episode of the Sweeper Podcast. Here with you again is Arvin and Boss.
All right. Hi, everyone. Today in this episode, we'll be talking all things La Liga. So we'll talk about the rise of Real Sociedad, the rise of Atletico Madrid, Barcelona finding form, and Real Madrid, and a lot more. So look forward to it. So Arvin, our first topic today will be Real Sociedad, who has been killing it in the La Liga. So what do you think about them?
You know, boss, I gotta say something about this. This is Real Sociedad's best start to the league, if I'm not wrong. Mm-hmm. And this shows that some people like to say that, no, it's just Barca and Real Madrid which has gone down. But no, I really think that Real Sociedad, what they're doing right now, is proof that it is proof that La Liga has improved in its standards, that people really need to start respecting La Liga a bit more. Teams like Sociedad, which were always an upper mid-table team, is now topping La Liga, but not for long because of Atletico, obviously. And the thing with Sociedad is that, you know, they lost one of their main players, Odegaard, back to Real Madrid. And that's and now they're doing this. So not only did they face adversity, but it shows the resilience of certain teams on wanting to do better. Now, it might end up being like Everton, where they do really well for the start and then they just let go. And it makes sense. But what it proves is that even teams like these can do it. And Real Sociedad, although they won't stay on top for long because of Atletico, which we'll get to in a bit, I gotta say, they really need like a big pat in the back or something, because it's just brilliant what they have been doing. Mm-hmm. What do you think about it?
No, I think, you know, Real Sociedad has actually taken La Liga by storm. They're playing really well. They're playing good football. And, yeah, I do agree they lost Odegaard, who was vital for their system. But I think it was, you know, it was healed by signing David Silva for free from Man City. Now, why this is a huge signing? Because David Silva brings, you know, trust, brings experience, he brings calmness to the midfield, and he's such a vital player. We are seeing, you know, I'm getting to Man City a bit because of David Silva, but Man City is actually struggling because David Silva is not there, and it's showing the impact. And see, Man City is going down and Real Sociedad actually hitting top form. And we have to give some credit to David Silva. And, you know, everyone in the team is playing well. Alexander Isak. And especially this player, Mikel Oyarzabal. He's, I don't know, scored like seven, 8 goals.
I got to tell you about, boss, I got to tell you about Oyarzabal. Yeah. He not only is he a young, good player, we have known him. I knew him for the past 2 years to be a great fucking player. Censor that. Censor that. Great player, boss. Because, I mean, think about it. I have known him since that back then because Barca wanted him when he was a little bit younger. And Mikel Oyarzabal is just, he's a genius, boss. I mean, have you seen the technique he has? And he also did it recently for Spain when he was playing. And I think, I don't remember who they were playing, but he did so well for Spain too. This, I'm telling you, boss, this guy is something else. And we have to watch out for him. Maybe a big team is going to snap him up in the next 4 or 5 years. And I don't know. I mean, his ceiling is very high. Trust me, his ceiling is high.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
his floor is not that low. His floor is exactly where he is right now.
You know, I would rate him as an underrated talent because people don't usually talk much about him. But people actually know something about football will know that, yeah, this player is something, you know. And as you said, I'm pretty sure some big clubs can snap him up, you know. In the next 4 or 5 years. Maybe in the next 2 years, he'll be snapped up by some big clubs. Let's see if he keeps this fine form and, you know, keep improving season by season.
Yeah.
Well then.
I gotta ask you something though before we move on. Who do you think is a better player, Ferran Torres or Mikel Oyarzabal? Who would have been a better fit for Man City this season?
I think Ferran Torres is the perfect signing. In the circumstances, you know, in the transfer market, I think Torres was the best replacement for Leroy Sané, because he has a lot of scope and he's only 20 and he's performing excellent. He's been excellent for City, scoring hat-tricks, scoring regularly in the Champions League. And also, although he hasn't, like, you know, hit the EPL running, but I'm sure with time and, you know, getting to know Pep's system, he'll be a good player for Pep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, we are done with Real Sociedad, I guess. I mean, they're a good team. They're first in the table, but, you know, they have two extra games, which means Atletico have a chance to go first. So, Atletico, Arvin. They've lost Alvaro Morata. They lost Thomas Partey, who was vital, who was important for the system. But they're still second and supposedly first if they win another game. And they have two games to spare.
Boss, yeah. Does not matter. They have Cholo Simeone, boss. That guy is a genius. We don't appreciate it because we forget how bad a situation Atletico was before he took over. And what he has created. Now, when I used to talk about Simeone, every time to you before, I used to keep referring to how he's destroying Joao Felix and stuff like that. It does not matter. He's getting the results, boss. He's not only drawing, he's winning. And he's winning by a good... He's got Luis Suarez to replace firstly. And Suarez, before he got COVID, was doing amazing. Amazing. And he's just back. So what he makes do with whatever he can. He doesn't care about the losses. He doesn't care about the loss of players he has. And trust me, based on the form and based on what I'm seeing, it's not that Atletico Madrid is second. Atletico Madrid is first. They're going to win the next two games. They're going to win the next 10 games if possible. And honestly, the only chances of any team defeating Atletico Madrid this season comes from Real Madrid, Barcelona, Sevilla, and maybe, just maybe Sociedad. But it's going to be hard, boss. Really. Atletico don't take the foot off the pedal. They keep going at it.
I have to agree.
And well, Simeone really, really, really needs to get a huge round of applause for what he's doing, especially this year. And after getting them to the finals of the Champions League and everything you can see, imagine Atletico Madrid doing, losing Griezmann, losing Turan, and all some of the best players and still keeping on going at it. I've not seen this from any other manager or any other team in my life, boss, in my life.
I agree, man. I have to agree with, you know, a lot of what you said, because Atletico, although I'm not a big fan of their football, they get results. Although they don't play the best football, they get results. And that's what Simeone is known for, you know. He may not be playing beautiful football, but his players are all soldiers. They are all ready to go in the pitch and, you know, kill the players, kill the game. And that's what Atletico is all about. Look at the players they have. Diego Costa, with the addition of Luis Suarez, as Costa said in the interview, one kicks and one bites. That, you know, defenders are scared, man. I don't know what to say. And João Felix, who is a big talent, who, you know, has improved a lot this season. And yeah, they have good depth.
He scored in the last game.
I think he scored against counted Bayern, as an... Yeah, yeah.
He scored against Bayern. Yeah.
I mean...
That was huge.
Yeah, man. And, you know, the thing with Atletico is if they can keep going like this, and if Real Madrid and Barca are still, you know, struggling, especially Real Madrid, I think Atletico have a good shot of, you know, winning the La Liga again.
They do, and well, that actually we should. Atletico, we know about it, and I really hope for their sake that they go ahead in the Champions League. I mean, even last season, they defeated Liverpool playing the football they played, and I don't know if it's Adrian's mistake or anything. All I know is Simeone did it. Over two legs, Simeone did it, and that's what matters the most. Yeah, now we'll get to the main thing I really want to say. This surge in Atletico and Sociedad, you know what it says? It says to me?
What?
It says to me that there's a whole new generation of fans who is not going to understand how dominant Barca and Real Madrid actually were, boss. Before I get to Barcelona, just take a moment and imagine. Since the year I was born, 2002, how many titles were won between Barcelona and Real Madrid? But now, if let's say for the next two or three seasons, if they don't dominate the way they used to when winning the league, there's going to be a whole new generation of fans, a whole new decade of fans who does not know anything about how dominant Barcelona and Real Madrid actually were. And this will hurt them, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, Barcelona and Real Madrid have been so dominant in the league. And yeah, man, agree with a lot of what you said. So why don't we move on from Atletico Madrid and talk a bit about Real Madrid and Barcelona, of course.
Well,
so first, yeah, Real Madrid.
Let's talk about Real Madrid, yeah. Let's talk about Real Madrid first. What is happening? I don't get it. First, I need to ask you here, because I am a fan of Barcelona, and anything I come off might sound as biased if I point out some mistakes. So the truth is, I need to ask you, what do you think is going wrong? Okay, on the field, on the paper, I'm seeing amazing players, maybe a little past their prime, some of them. But if you even remove it, talent-wise, everything is going great. Zidane, a manager who has won three continuous Champions League. Varane, national player. Ramos, still national team captain. National players all across. Talents like Vinicius, Rodrigo, all these players all across the field. My question is, what do you think is going wrong? Because if I give a reason, I don't know. I have a lot to say about this. So I'll let you go first.
Well, you know, as a neutral, I have to say that Madrid is not going through a good form at all, and that is down to a lot of factors, in my opinion. Firstly, as you said, on papers, they look amazing. Sergio Ramos, Thibaut Courtois, Fernand Mendy, Eden Hazard, Karim Benzema, all these players are, most of them are world class, they're experienced, they're top players. But why are they struggling? Why are they losing to Alaves? Why are they struggling against Shakhtar? Why are they in this position in the Champions League? Why? You know, the question is that. And, you know, I think it's a lot of things. Firstly, injuries. Eden Hazard has been injured, I think, 8 or 9 times. And that is more than what he has in goals and assists. Karim Benzema thinks he is a Ferrari. And I don't know, like, there's no cohesion between the teammates. They don't play as a team.
I want to add on to that. Yeah, exactly, boss. That incident, so wait, I'll let you talk about this, but that incident shows about this cohesiveness, which I think is the biggest problem. You want to go ahead and explain the situation?
Of course. I mean, that cam from the tunnel where Karim Benzema said that Vinicius Jr. was playing against them. You know, saying these things to a young player who's trying his best for the team doesn't help. And it's going to have a huge impact on the team, you know. And Sergio Ramos, Rafael Varane, Marcelo, all these players. Like, I think Real Madrid is in a huge mess. And Zidane needs to sort it out somehow. Somehow he needs to sort it out, or Real Madrid is going to be in big trouble. And another reason why they're not doing well is because, you know, the big name signing they signed, like Mendy, Jovic, Hazard, Rodrigo, Vinicius, who has actually, you know, performed well. In my opinion, the best of that. These five would be Fernand Mendy. In my opinion, the best is Fernand Mendy. What do you say?
Now, let me give you what I say about that. Now, throughout my whole thing, I said that I'll tell my reasons at the end why I think Real Madrid are doing bad. There are three reasons why I think Real Madrid are doing bad. Number one is exactly what you said. Why do you think Fernand Mendy has done the best? Because he's been given the most opportunities. Hell with the new players, boss. Asensio, what a player. Isco, what a player. Are they even? I don't even know if they're playing anymore, boss. I hardly see them. And that's the thing which I'm trying to say. That the first problem which Real Madrid has is privilege to older players. Barcelona had this problem last year. But it's going to a much higher extent in Real Madrid. That if a player is not doing well, they're not removing that player. They're still keep playing that player. We had that with Alba. Our main problem Barcelona's main problem last season was that we did not even have the replacements. But then when we did, we tried to incorporate and it was a mess. But this year, we're getting it right. We are playing young defenders. We're playing young midfielders. We are replacing Messi with other right wingers. We're playing whole new left wingers. So If you think about it, Barca is showing a system of progressiveness, but Real Madrid is sticking to its roots and it's going to cause, it's strangling them, boss. Like the fact that they're still keeping up with Benzema. I don't even know if Benzema was fined for what he did. And Modric and Cruz, I don't know if they're good enough anymore, boss. Modric, perhaps. Cruz, not so much. Did you see against Shakhtar at the very end of the game? He had that free kick. He just kicked it outside. That's not Cruz, man. And my second reason is French privilege. There is something going on there. Why does Benzema, Ferland Mendy get more opportunities than the players they already have? Look, Benzema is a great player. And no matter what he says, he's getting away with it. Has the manager publicly called him out? No, he should. Zidane should not give French privilege. And this is, again, adding to that dressing room distrust, I think. Now, there might be something deeper going on in there. We don't know. Truth is, there is some... We have always joked about it, that Benzema gets more privilege from Zidane. But I think this is the truth now, that Benzema is preferred by Zidane, not only because of that, but because he's French. I don't know if that's true, if that's because he's French. But there's some privilege going on there, and I think it's hurting some other players, and it's hurting the cohesiveness.
I mean, we'll never get to know.
The third reason I'd say, so the first two is obviously cohesiveness. The third reason I'd say is an overload of talent across the field is hurting them rather than helping them, because they're not finding a balance. They're playing different squads each time. They have wingers who can play in all two sides, at least four of them who are good enough. They have two strikers. They have what, four, five, six midfielders. And all these players are replacing positions in either two or three positions. So what I think is that this overload of talent, they're not finding a balance. They're having to play different squads because one squad isn't working. They're not building up on a squad. And you can see that players like Isco not getting a chance is proof that that's happening, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you know, adding on to what you said, they have a lot of talents in a lot of areas, but, you know, these talents are not actually, like, I feel bad for the young players at Real Madrid, man. I mean, you know, having senior players like Karim Benzema and Sergio Ramos, these players who won't even help you in games and, you know, criticize you. Like, that incident, I'm pretty sure it has a huge impact on Vinicius, man, and a lot of young players as well. You know, Real Madrid is actually in a huge mess, and somehow they have to, you know, sort it out. Maybe sack Zidane, so the French connection or whatever we think it is goes away. Maybe get someone more reliable, someone who actually can manage this big, talented squad, you know. And maybe
sacking Zidane would be tough. And you and I have had this conversation where you thought that Zidane was lucky to win those three Champions Leagues. And I'm like, well, it's still three Champions League, so I don't know how much of luck is there in it. Of course, he had the players, and you do need the players if you want to win the Champions League at any point. But I still think that sacking Zidane would be really tough because he's a club legend. And the last time he didn't get sacked, he left. He said, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. So unless he does that again, there is no way I think Real Madrid are going to sack Zidane, and they're stuck in this position. So let's get to Barcelona now. A team which is actually recovering from a mess. Boss. Remember at the start of the season, I told you, this season wouldn't matter. And it's still the same situation. It does not matter. But what did I tell you at the start of the season? This season will tell you if the senior players and if Koeman shows a willingness to change the players, if Koeman shows a willingness to try new players, it'll go a long way. Boss, you know, Barca still hasn't found a balance in midfield. And just with the finding of Braithwaite and Griezmann and Messi in offense, they're winning games. I'll tell you why not midfield. Because one game Busquets and Frenkie is playing. Another game Busquets and Alenia is playing. Another game Busquets and Frenkie is playing. Alenia and Frenkie is playing. And recently, this Pedri also played CDM. So my point is that, boss, we are trying so many squads that everyone is improving. And we have found the balance in two sides. One is the defense. We have found the perfect balance. Alba left back, Dest right back. And the two center backs are Longley and and Mingueza. The midfield, still not decided, but they're still doing fine. And don't forget, we have Pjanic too over there who's playing occasionally. So we have found the offensive and defensive balance. Now, if we find that midfield balance, we're set for next season. Trust me. But these players are young. They are not... Yeah. Okay, Griezmann, Messi's old and Messi might leave. I don't know how much of an impact that would have because without Messi, Griezmann and Braithwaite would actually improve, I think. But that's blasphemous of me to say because it's Messi. And I don't know how much of an impact it would have. But remember when I told you at the start, this is the transition season. It's turning out to be a good transition, in my opinion, because of what I'm seeing. Because Barcelona, at their good, is playing great. At their bad, they're not playing well. But that's the thing. To find consistency, you need to try out different things and then make sure that that's the perfect squad. And that's what they're doing. And I'm happy with the way things are going.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, at the start of the season, I said that Barca were in a mess and they need, and this season was going to be the sort of like rebuild season, you know, a start of their rebuild. And, you know, recent games that Barca have been playing have been pretty good. I mean, you know, seeing Griezmann scoring in three consecutive games, if I'm not wrong, and he's been doing really well.
Braithwaite has scored 4 goals in 5 games.
Yeah, and Messi, you know, being who he is, Pedri doing well, Frankie doing well and not conceding in, I think, the last 3 games as well.
And Conrad playing and not conceding exactly. So, and Oscar Mingueza's rise, which is crazy, like, whoa. And, and Araujo coming back, Umtiti coming back, it's just going to help. And we are yet to find, you know, Ricky Pooch has not got enough chances, but whenever he has played, he has created so, he's the last game he played, he came on for like, I think 15 or 10 minutes or something like that. And he created one chance with the outside of his boot, which ended up becoming a goal at the very end. And I got to tell you, the way, I don't know if Koeman is a good manager. I don't need to know it. All I know is he's taking the risk of putting Messi, not allowing Messi to rest while all these players go abroad to play in Kiev. It shows a lot. It shows a change. And it shows that... Okay, I'll tell you something. I'll give you a proof. Koeman does not play Firpo as much as he plays Alba. And I see an improvement in Alba with Koeman in, even though I have said so many bad things about Alba and that Firpo should play. You know why I say this now? Because the rise of Koeman has also been the rise of Alba. And Koeman is being sensible. He knows which players to play, which players are good enough. That's why he's not playing Puig all the time. He's only playing Puig little by little. He's playing Alenia little by little. He's playing Pedri a lot because he can help the current squad, if that makes sense. So that shows what kind of a man. He's willing to put change players on the perfect areas, but he's not willing to show as long as it doesn't show an improvement. And I think that Barca will sell Firpo and get in a new left back. But this is just happy days, bro. This is just happy days for me and any Barca fan. We are happy with how things are going. I don't know if we'll go very far in Champions League. I don't know if we'll win the La Liga. But as long as we stay in a Champions League position, we are set for next season, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said. I mean, Barca and Real Madrid are both in the rebuild phase in the season where, you know, they're actually trying to find the right direction. And as of now, in this current time of recording, Barca is actually the better team, because I think that, you know, you see, they haven't conceded in 3 games and scored like 3+ goals in 3 consecutive games, if I'm not wrong, in the Champions League in all competitions. Mm-hmm. So they're actually coming back, you know, from that Atletico Madrid loss, right? I think they lost to Atletico Madrid. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they're coming back, beating, I think, last game, who was it? The green team, Ferran something, in the Champions League.
I don't know.
Yeah, and I think they have an easy run of fixtures, if not for Juventus in the final group game, which I still believe Barca is going to win because it's in the Camp Nou and the intensity of the game will be quite low because both teams have already qualified. So yeah, I think if Barca can win the next, you know, 3-4 games, it's going to give the players and the manager a lot of confidence, and, you know, things will even be better for Barcelona that way.
Yes, I agree. With that, we come to the end of another episode. If you like this episode, please like, share, and subscribe.
All right, see you guys.